This is a presentation of the Badlands Media Network.
Explain those Badlands. That's a hell of a name.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, on this bodaciously beautiful day in creation. Today is May 6th, 2024, and this is episode 19.1. The Monday Ratligator Report. Thank you so much for joining me. I am, I don't know. Had a weird weekend physically. I won't go into old man mode, and you know the temptation is just because it's just so amazing. These things that start happening to you at this age, and you're still in shock somewhat. It's like what the hell is going on here? Why am I anyway? I ate a bad mix of food. I paid the consequences, but I feel much better. Just in the last few hours. So that's a very, very good thing. Incredible weekend. I had some conversation with Paul Absolute, 1776, just talking about this summer of correction I've coined and how things seem to be picking up pace in a good way, even as they strive to test out X, Y, and Z and prepare to do the continuation of their plan. I feel very confident that they aren't in position to do what the hell they want to do, and far less people are going to be fooled by the bullshit this time around, whatever they construct via their narrative lies. Nobody's going to believe the George Floyd bullshit, Trayvon Martin bullshit, any of this other nonsense. I said on multiple shows, white people have to quit blinking at this bullshit and eyeball a mofo and tell them to get the hell out of my face with that. Give it no credence whatsoever. None. Zero. We are rapidly approaching that place. And we should not fear that. We should gather strength from that, right? I'm still going back to the Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6, right? I've talked about this before. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and within a multitude of counselors there is safety. I am superficially tying that scripture to what I see, perhaps through confirmation bias, but what I definitely see Team Trump doing with this regions of responsibility and cooperation. It's an insight that they made before he ever glided down that escalator and announced his candidacy. And for me, again, acknowledging the possibility of confirmation bias, I've been intrigued by this United States in opposition piece for a long, long time. I can't even remember how long ago it was I read it, but when I read it, I knew this man had hit on something. He missed some things, and that's not a criticism. One of the things I also say on the regular here is I work very hard to never make the perfect the enemy of the good. I don't care if in my interpretation it appears he missed on something. He wrote a phenomenal piece, very American, and very worthwhile. And so I just think somebody in Team Trump is familiar with this piece. Somebody used it to help build out this battle plan that they may not call back at you bitches, but that's what I call it. Okay, and that's the only thing that matters to me is what I call it. And it very much looked to me to be Sun Tzu inspired in order to counter a Sun Tzu battle plan that most people still don't see. I sat there, I was listening to this guy, I think his name is Stephen Kotkin. He was talking about some current state of play. And, you know, so many of these academics and people who hover around those circles, you know, whether it's foreign affairs or whatever, they don't get Donald Trump. They don't know how to give Donald Trump dap. And they are stuck in such a way. It's amazing to me. They don't see this technological revolution. And they don't get any, there's just no appreciation for how you cannot look backwards and make these analyses. You know, Peter Zeihan is sitting there talking stupid shit all the time about these gaps. Shut up about these gaps. Those things do not matter. There's a new form of warfare being engaged in. And technology is driving the train. The old ways are not going to drive the train. And the reason why Russia has already lost, newsflash to some of you, the reason why they've already lost is that they don't get it. They've got a 19th century mindset that will not fit in the 21st century. No freaking way possible. And you hear a lot of people talking all of this stuff, and yeah, okay, all right. Keep living, keep learning. You are going to see. So I think it is, it's incredible. It's almost like I'm sitting here and it's like, wow, I'm doing this show, but I want to be diving into so much more just for my own edification, you know, just test some of my precepts, my presumptions. What do you see? And who is demonstrating and showing what you see? But I showed you in the last show these defensive, and I'm talking military, alliances that we've made that shed light upon this regions of responsibility and cooperation. But make no mistake, there are free trade agreements too. There's a multiplicity of ways in which we have wisely stepped out of the bullshit that Daniel Patrick Moynihan noted in terms of this majority who thinks that they can dictate X, Y, and Z to us, and they cannot, because there can only be one. We are that one. Once Big Daddy understands who the hell Big Daddy is, and that's Donald Trump, Make no mistake about it. So much of this foolishness we've been trapped by. They cannot defeat us militarily. Nobody. And so what they do is they wage war in other ways, right? But Donald Trump has figured that out, ain't having it. And he also understands this, again, I go back to this, Judeo-Christian principles upon which the United States of America was founded, the zig and zag approach we've made, the aspirational goal that we've made unique in all the world, based upon God-given inalienable rights in these first sovereign citizens. And again, not even remotely thinking about making the perfect the enemy of the good. It acknowledges, it understands what we've accomplished as a nation. No one on earth has topped us in that regard. And so what I'm trying to, I saw so much this weekend, you know, while trying to not get put out too much by what the hell is going on with me physically. But I stumbled upon something talking about this kind of sort of this Judeo-Christian principle stuff. But the fact that the West, you know, when people think about the West, and I've said to you before, Donald Trump laid down the law in that Warsaw speech in 2017 about we will defend this Judeo-Christian principle. That's what we're doing in Ukraine, whether y'all believe that or not. That's what we're doing. And Russia is not a part of the West, and neither is China. But guess who is? Japan. It's not a European thing. It's not an American thing. And it's not even Judeo-Christian. Okay, but it is about regions of responsibility and cooperation in Japan. Is in there, and so is this line of defense we've put together in the Pacific. And that's a beautiful thing, especially if you know how to look at whether somebody won or lost a war via the perspective of multiple decades. And when you look at Vietnam making a defensive agreement with us because they recognize who the hell China is, it ought to give you some pause on what the hell you think. Kotkin, I don't want to drift, you know, it'll be 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. But Kotkin said something in his piece about, you know, two different, he did a compare and contrast talking about America, really. You can, and it was broader than that. I'm remembering in less than totally accurate ways, but he was talking about you can win the peace and lose the war, or conversely, you can lose the peace and win the war. And I think this is a window into his too narrow form of thinking, because you can presume you lost the war, but you didn't. And you are continuing to win the peace. That's what the United States is. When you look at our position in the world, people make a mistake by putting Russia on the level of the United States. They have never been that. And since we won World War II, and yes, said it, meant it. We won the fucking war, not them. And we've been the dominant power on the globe. We were already the dominant power on the globe before that commercially, but I'm talking militarily. And nobody has been able to challenge us. Their entire focus has been on defeating us by whoring out motherfucking politicians, our news media, all these other aspects that they can narratively take sufficient control of. And they have. That's been the problem. And Donald Trump is the one who has said, fuck all that. Much, much to my delight. Okay, now I'm going to try and read some of this United States in opposition, I think. But I need to do some of these supportive ads. And before I get to reading, I'm going to try and get into the chat. I already saw Eurythmic had said something on X. Apparently, Joe Lang, I think, posted a piece that Patrick read and seemed to be quite impressive. And you know, I don't doubt that, even as I may take issue with, you know, certain component pieces. Ad nauseum, I have to say, recognizing that I could be wrong. They could be right. Same thing with Burning Bright. I thought about Mrs. Burning Bright. They had this hockey match. Boston won the damn game 7. I was hoping she and Toronto would get that game 7 so we could jab Burning Bright's ass. But the Bruins won the damn game. And hey, hockey ain't my thing. Hockey ain't my thing. But you can still have some you can still have some fun, given how much other people really enjoy hockey. I also was listening to a Gator football player from Australia over the weekend. I think his name is Jeremy Crawshaw. He's our punter. And these Australians have taken over the job of punting in college football, and I think going into the pros now. This guy is really incredible. It was a great interview, but they touched upon, you know, why are the Australians so damn good at this punting? And it's obvious, you know, they have quite a tradition, a unique tradition. I think Australia is in many ways very similar to the United States and unique on the planet. But they have this tradition of rugby and Australian rules football, especially Australian rules football. This is some manly. Oh my goodness, it's a manly. Manly stuff. So I just think about what we're trying to do in terms of our place on the globe. And, you know, one reason Paul plays that Roosevelt piece so much is that that is a core piece of what makes the United States unique. There is a masculinity, an understanding of what must be. And it cannot be beta males driving the train. It cannot be. And so for decades, again, thinking back to this Sun Tzu battle plan, these damn Chinese have really waged a really slick war against us, along with the Russians. But I think they've played even the Russians for the fool. But try to make us into a beta male nation, and it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You got these punk ass idiots protesting trans crap. Oh my God. Anyway, yeah. I need to do, let me see if I can properly pull up the. Need to play the ad first. In fact, let me just start with us, and then I will come to the second supportive ad. I want to switch it up a little bit. And that will let me hunt while we are playing the first supportive advertiser, Badlands Media.
In today's fast-paced world, peace of mind is priceless. That's where Badlands Media steps in. Preparing for life's uncertainties is about being ready for anything, right where you are. Welcome to the Badlands Media Shop. We've partnered with Patriot companies offering products that empower you to prepare for any eventuality comfortably from your home. The Badlands Media Shop has everything you need to secure your peace of mind. Browse the virtual aisles. Prepare your family for the year ahead with products you can trust from companies that share your values. Whether it's growing your own food or prepping long-term storage, protecting your family, or stocking up on emergency supplies, we've got you covered. Get prepared. Visit Badlands Media Shop at badlandsmedia.tv/shop today. Every purchase supports a freedom-loving business as well as Badlands Media. That's badlandsmedia.tv/shop. Thank you for your continued support.
Next up, arrow tags. Are y'all tired of the endless cycle of buying and tossing those paper tree air fresheners? Enter arrow tags, where their dream was to craft a solution to this very problem. Arrow tags are the first ever laser engraved resentable car air fresheners made right here in the USA. And it's born in the makerspace of the Cleveland Public Library. Arrow tags is not just a business, though. It's a revolution, a testament to the American dream. And they are not just about freshening your space. They're about doing it better. With a commitment to longevity, aesthetics, and sustainability, arrow tags are designed to last longer, look great, and reduce waste, replacing those fleeting scents with something you can count on. Don't forget to grab your Badlands Media arrow tag, now available. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/arrowtags, that's A-R-O-T-A-G-S, and use promo code Badlands for 10% off your order. That's badlandsmedia.tv/arrowtags, promo code Badlands. Okay, so let me get into the chat. Say good morning, MAGA, Keys, hello, love. Good morning, Eurythmic. Trump at F1 was fun. My brother called me and said, listen, I can't even get around. This damn F1 stuff has got all, it's like, it changes everything. And, you know, South Florida is such a narrow, you know, you only have a few choices to drive. Bird flu, can't let that happen for any. I'm not interested in the bird flu. I hope no one is. Good morning, Cindy. The Russian economy is growing faster than any other. Oh my God. I just love this. Let's wait for the after action report and let's think about what was growing and what wasn't. The thing about what was technologically available and what wasn't, and who was getting fucked and who wasn't. And believe whatever you want. Now, remember, these people are very good at seeding a narrative and playing people for fools. The IMF, you think they're the smartest motherfuckers on the planet? They get played for the fool regularly. I'm just saying. I could be wrong. I don't think so. Yeah, Jack Smith had to confess. Jack Smith, I don't want to get too smart for my damn self. You know what I mean? That is a problem that I can fall into. But who is this mofo? And you know, you got some of these people, and I'm sitting here saying patriots are now in control. Everything is integrated. Is something of a movie script, it appears, because how can these people be this freaking stupid? How? And it's like, has he already been jammed? You know, is he, I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe he and they are that lawfare stupid. I can definitely see it. I just don't want to bank on it. Good morning, Dina. Good morning, GWKW Nebraska. Sherlang's piece was great. Yeah. I'm going to have to try and check it out. Joe K, good morning. Joe Lang is always a great read. I love his passion, his faith, his belief, and his interpretation of what's what. This is one of the things we have to remain open to. Unless I just haven't followed closely enough. And you got to understand, months ago, I backed away from trying to track all of this, and especially Burning Bright and Joe Lang. Just human. I just, you know what? Let me just be a little narrowly focused, follow my train of thought, and it's going to differ. And that's okay, because I absolutely don't want Badlands tracking into confirmation bias groupthink. We need a variety of opinions. And I saw they had a variety of opinions, and I love that. I see, Eurythmic, MAGA Keys, others. Great, great. Let's walk this walk. Let's see what's going to be what. And we're all trying to get to a largely similar place. And I'm good with that. I'm very good with that. Dina, good morning. I will contact you after the show. See what we can do. Okay, let me find this piece that I want to read. And it's just that, you know, I almost regret starting to read it. So I don't like to be beholden to, you know, but I do want to get this thing in. I do want to read it. And stay on the path. So I'm going to try and do some today. I may stop a little. No, but I do want to get some of this in, because I do think it's going to be valuable, especially looking back. And as this summer of correction appears to move forward, I'm going to be very interested to see what the heck is what. This United States in Opposition piece, all I will say about what we've previously read is Daniel Patrick Moynihan was recognizing the United States was in a position that appeared to be a minority position. And in large part, this was because of a sweep of independence for formerly colonized nations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He saw that most of these nations had either been directly or indirectly largely influenced by the British Empire. That meant British socialism. He separated the British socialism out from, and to me this was a mistake, from all of that left-wing crap that came out of Europe. Communism, Nazism, fascism, all of that is left-wing crap coming out of Europe. And there is not much of a difference at all. The only thing is, fascism part of that, when you look at it, just from a left-wing perspective, is the furthest right of the foolishness in terms of philosophy. But they're all on the left side of the ledger, if you understand the American way of thinking in capitalism, okay? All right, let me get back to this piece. Starting with where we left off on Wednesday. In the end, a doctrine emerged which is almost certainly more true than otherwise, namely that social and economic change is the fundamental determinant of fertility change, compared with which family planning as such has at most a residual role. There need be no difficulty with this assertion. The difficulty comes with the conclusion said to follow, that economic growth in the West should cease and the wealth of the world be redistributed. We are back to Kyr Hardie expropriating the expropriators, not to produce wealth, but to redistribute it. As with the environment conference, the population conference turned into another occasion for reminding the West of its alleged crimes and unresolved obligations. This tone attained to manic proportions in Population Tribune, an unofficial American-financed parallel conference of a form that first appeared in Stockholm. Ritual recantation became the order of the day, as one notable after another confessed to a class-bound past, which had blinded him to the infinitely bright future. Most of the recanters were American, but it was Professor René Dumont of France who epitomized the argument in a statement, quote, "Population and Cannibals," which was subsequently given the full front page of Development Forum, an official five-language UN publication. Professor Dumont blaming the plunderers of the third world for world conditions. They underpay for the rare raw materials of the third world and then squander them. You put the case with some vivacity. Eating little children. I have already had occasion to show that rich white man, with his overconsumption of meat and his lack of generosity toward poor populations, acts like a true cannibal, albeit indirect. Last year, in overconsuming meat, which wasted the cereals which could have saved them, we ate the little children of the Sahel, of Ethiopia, and of Bangladesh. This year, we are continuing to do the same thing with the same appetite. Sweet Jesus, what the hell is that? Continuing with Moynihan, Dr. Han Suyin, a sympathetic commentator on Chinese communist affairs, summed up for others. This ought to be good. You cannot cut off any talk about population, about people, from economics and politics. You cannot put in a vacuum any talk about population and world resources without relation to the present as it exists. I admire people who can talk about a noble future where there will be an equal society and where resources will be controlled by all. But forgive me for saying so, if this is to be done, then we have to begin by sharing now everything. And that would mean that a lot of people who have a lot of private property, for instance, should divest themselves immediately of it in favor of the poor. It means that at this very moment, we should start to implement a very simple thing, something which we heard at the United Nations at the sixth special session of the United Nations, where the voice of the third world, the majority of the world, at last formulated their demand for more equitable terms of trade and for an end to exploitation, for an end to the real cause of poverty and backwardness, which is not population, but which is injustice and exploitation. The third world has a word for it. It calls it imperialism and hegemony. Yeah, we got a word for it, and it's called bullshit. Can you see what the Chinese are doing here? Oh, man, they've played a decades-long game of this bullshit. But back to Moynihan. And the American delegation? The official few flashed to diplomatic posts around the world was as uncomplicated at the end as it had been at the outset. Quote, all basic U.S. objectives were achieved and U.S. accomplishments were many. U.S. delegation unanimously pleased with the final result. Do you see the problem, ladies and gentlemen? Who was it that asked some State Department employee on interview, come over here and go to the globe and point to me your nation? And it was a test. They pointed to their nation of review, not their dutiful nation, the United States. That's what you see here. And we've seen it for decades, how we, our educated fools, have been played for fools across the globe. Donald Trump said to hell with that bullshit. Much to his credit, he was the first politician I can recall in my lifetime to 100% not give in to any of that. Back to Moynihan's piece. The World Food Conference, which followed in Rome in November, was even more explicitly an American initiative. Yet, as the American delegation somewhat sadly noted, the plenary forum was used to the fullest by LDCs, and that means less developed countries, used by them to excoriate the United States and other developed nations as responsible for the current food crisis and the generally depressed state of their part of the world, calling for radical adjustment in the current economic order and, in effect, reparations from developed countries to the less developed. Y'all think Black people came up with this reparations bullshit? Hell no. These fucking communists dropped it in our laps and basically told our politicians to run with it, which they did in their stupidity. Back to the text. Such negotiations as took place were somewhat more sober, since something immediately of value, wheat, was at stake, and obviously only the United States and few such countries were prepared to part with any. Even so, by the time the conference was concluded, one of the great and truly liberal innovations of world social policy, the American-led assertion that the hungry of the world should be fed by transfers of resources, had been utterly deprecated. Thus, the Indian Food Minister's statement with respect to the needs of the developing countries. It is obvious that the developed nations can be held responsible for their, meaning the developing nations' present plight. Developed nations, therefore, have a duty to help them. Whatever help is rendered to them now should not be regarded as charity, but deferred compensation for what has been done to them in the past by the developed countries. Wow. Oh, wow. Let me hush. The UN General Assembly pursued this theme with notable persistence throughout 1974, commencing with a special session in the spring, which dealt with the economic crises of the underdeveloped in just such terms, occasioned as much as anything by the devastating impact of oil price increases. Special session dwelt on every conceivable abuse of economic power, save that one. At the end of the regular autumn session, damn good point by Moynihan, the General Assembly solemnly adopted a charter of economic rights and duties of states, which accords to each state the right freely to exercise full permanent sovereignty over its wealth and natural resources, to regulate and exercise authority over foreign investments, and to nationalize, expropriate, or transfer ownership of foreign property pretty much at will. The vote was 120-6, the United States, Belgium, Denmark, West Germany, Luxembourg, and the United Kingdom. What was being asserted was a radical discontinuity with the original, essentially liberal vision of the United Nations as a regime of international law and practice, which acknowledges all manner of claims, but claims that move in all directions. Now they moved in one direction only, exactamundo. In general, a rhetoric of expropriation became routine. At year's end, Prime Minister Indira Gandhi opened the 56th conference of the International Law Association meeting in New Delhi and declared, "Laws designed to protect the political or economic power of a few against the rights of the many must yield place to laws which enlarge the area of equality, and law itself should be an ally, an instrument of change." Do you see the direct line from that bullshit to what these people are doing in the United States now with lawfare, and what gives them the right in their mind to engage in such bullshit? Mindset, bullshit. Back to Moynihan. She spoke a now common language of resentment over population issues, quoting Indira. "Is it not a new form of arrogance for affluent nations to regard the poorer nations as an improvident species whose numbers are a threat to their own standard of living?" Moynihan says she suggested a reversal of roles had taken place as between the new nations and the old. And he goes back to quoting her. "An obligation rests on the haves to generate confidence among the have-nots. A new approach to foreign investments is indicated, in which investments abroad are regarded more as a service to the recipient community than as an enterprise where profits and their repatriation must be secured at all cost." Moynihan says, now there is nothing unfamiliar in this language. I'm going to quote someone, "Only the setting is new. It is the language of British socialism." Yep. "Applied to the international scene. American diplomacy has yet to recognize this fact, and failing to recognize it, has failed to even begin dealing intelligently with it." Section 3. Now, I wonder, should I? I'm going to read a little bit of Section 3. "But if the beginning of wisdom in dealing with the nations of the third world is to recognize their essential ideological coherence, next step is to recognize that there is every reason to welcome this ideology and to welcome the coherence also. Because of the British Revolution and its heritage, the prospect now is that the world will not go totalitarian. In the Christian sense, has there been such political good news in our time. But there's bad news also. The great darkness could yet consume us. The potential for absorption of these states into the totalitarian camp is there and will continue to be there. This is perhaps especially true where one-party states have been established, but even where multi-party democracy flourishes, the tug of the socialist countries, to use the UN term, persists. The outcome will almost certainly turn on whether or not these nations, individually and in groups, succeed in establishing sufficiently productive economies. If they do not, if instead they become permanently dependent on outside assistance, that assistance is likely more and more to come from the totalitarian nations, and with it the price of internal political influence from the totalitarian camp through the local pro-Moscow or pro-Peking Communist Party. For everywhere there are such parties, everywhere, they appear able to go on indefinitely in a dormant state and can be awakened pretty much at will. India, with a population equal to that of the whole of Africa and South America combined, is the best current example. Parliamentary democracy is vigorous enough there, but economic incompetence on its part and diplomatic blunders on ours have led to an increasing dependence on Soviet support, which in the space of 3 years has brought about an open electoral alliance between the Congress Party and the Moscow-oriented communists, an alliance we would have thought worth fighting a war to prevent 2 decades ago, but which we scarcely notice today. I want to pause right there and remind y'all about MacArthur and my theory about World War III. This shows the success of the communist infiltration and the fact that MacArthur was right, and the decades since only prove this out even more in my estimation. They have hollowed out our intelligentsia. They've whored out our political class. They've whored out our commercial class. And they almost succeeded. But thanks to Donald Trump, we put a stop to that nonsense. That's my theory, and I'm sticking with it. Back to Monahan. This alliance would not have come about save for the failure of the Indian economy to prosper and the success, typical, of the argument that the cure for the damage done by leftist policies is even more leftist policies, which in practice translates into dependence on the Soviets and alliances with their internal allies. Yep, yep. And here's the nub of the bad news. For all the attractions of this variety of socialist politics, it has proved in almost all its versions, almost the world over, to be a distinctly poor means of producing wealth. Sharing wealth, perhaps, but not producing wealth. Who, having read British political journals over the past quarter century, would be surprised to find that during this period, 1950 to 73, the United Kingdom's share of the planetary product has been reduced from 5.8 to 3.1%. Why then be surprised that those who have made British socialism their model have trouble taking off in the opposite direction? Yet even so, one must be surprised at the decline of economies, such as those of Burma and Sri Lanka, immensely productive places not a generation ago. Sri Lanka, for example, having first got to the point where it was importing potatoes from Poland, has now got to the further point where it can no longer afford to do so. A recent survey of the Ceylonese economy in the Far Eastern Economic Review was entitled "Conspiracy or Catastrophe?" For what else could possibly explain such failure? What else, that is, to those experiencing it, with all that implies for political instability? The outsider can indulge a more relaxed view. Fault lies in ideas, not persons. Americans, Westerners, do not have any claim to superior wisdom on the subject of these economies. Starting in the 1950s, a large number of first-rate economists began working on theories of economic growth designed to get the less developed countries on a path of self-sustained growth. To be perfectly brutal about it, Jesse Burkhead recently stated, it hasn't worked. And yet there is no need to stand mute. Two assertions may be reasonably put forth, of which the first is to say that these economies haven't worked as well as hoped, is not to say that none has worked at all. There has been growth. In the main, things are better than they were. For every Argentina, that miracle of economic non-growth, think about that in the context of today, there is a Brazil. For Ghana, there's Nigeria. For Calcutta, there's Singapore. The second assertion is that relative failure is particularly to be encountered in economies most heavily influenced by that version of late Fabian economics, which compounded the Edwardian view that there was plenty to go around if justly distributed, with the 1930s view that capitalism could never produce enough to go around regardless of distributive principles. Footnote 2 says, this latter idea is very much alive. On leaving my post as United States Ambassador to India, I gave a press conference in which, among other things, I touched upon the failure of India to achieve a productive economy. The National Herald, the Nehru family newspaper, commented in an editorial, quote, Mr. Moynihan may be justified in some of his criticism of the state of the Indian economy, but what he is trying to sell is the capitalist system, which can only impoverish India's millions further, unquote. I'm going to stop there, ladies and gentlemen, and this may be the nerd in me, but I tell you, it's just phenomenal to read this piece, this 1975 piece, and realize, oh my God, how much it fits. I'm never going to convince some of you. I'm certain of that. But you have to first start with the fact, as far as I'm concerned. Don't make any difference between communism, Marxism, fascism, British socialism, European socialism. Same shit. Same damn shit. These people are working to turn the world upside down from the Judeo-Christian tradition that made for a global order that allowed for largely world peace, world commerce since the conclusion of World War II, thanks to the United States of America. Think whatever the hell you want. That's my position. This is Monday ending, and I'll pick this back up on Wednesday. I just think that's incredible. This piece is just, every time I read it, it's just more relevant to what the hell is going on today, more relevant to understanding why there is such broad opposition to Donald Trump, why there's this insistence to tell lies about Donald Trump as if he has no strategy, when they know damn well he has a winning strategy, when they know damn well he was the first one to start talking China. And he emphasized it. I just love the way China. It's just so beautiful what he did and how he did it, and is still doing. So, you know, look, we got to stay on the good foot. We got to recognize we've got competent professionals. We got to be actively involved, seriously involved, and we've got to stop blinking in the face of bullshit. If you've walked down a road that says Israel bad, stop it. This is all part of that bullshit game these people have played. And I'm going to tell you something else. This is, again, I don't have time to research it or write a paper or think about it, but you've heard me talk about this weirdness between white people on the Jewish Christian thing. And I think a certain insight came to me. Y'all may disagree. And I don't even know that I, off the top of my head, can state it to you properly. But I think part of the revulsion non-Jews have towards Jews and this incessant focus on the Holocaust is a deep down sense that this focus has something of a dual purpose. And one of the purposes is to obfuscate just how deeply involved many Jews were with this whole communism bullshit, with this whole Marxism bullshit, with this whole socialism bullshit. Jews have been intimately involved. And I sit there and I was constantly looking at Israel, and why were they so freaking involved with this, you know, WHO vaccine bullshit? I mean, I think they were the most vaccinated nation on the earth. And it's like, that is part of it. Why have they been so steadfast on the left wing? It's something about the Jewish mindset that has blinded them to certain things, it seems to me. Then on the Christian side, much of the same applies, but because of this, what I call slippery slope, where people will go to this Christ is King thing in terms of proselytizing and y'all are mistaken and why didn't you follow the Messiah and all this other kind of stuff. It's just some weirdness, but I think, and you see it to this day, these Jews have been incredibly shocked by how many of these young kids have stupidly fallen for this Hamas bullshit. And you got a bunch of Jewish people leading them, some Jewish organizations, wanting to be part of the go-along-to-get-along crowd. It is incredible to see this stuff play out. Okay, I got to finish up with my supportive advertisers. Let me get to the proper place and finish off this show properly and get back to the chat before I close everything out. First up is Mike Lindell with MyPillow.
I'm excited to announce we're having a huge MyPillow spring sale, and here's a few examples. Buy one of our MyPillow 2.0s, you get another MyPillow 2.0 absolutely free. Made with cooling technology, the best pillow ever just got even better. And this just in, 9 brand new colors and styles of our Percale bed sheets. They're made with the finest long staple cotton, and now you can save 50% or more. That's as low as $24.98. And for the first time this year, I'm bringing you our My Slippers and Sandals for as low as $25 a pair. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get your MyPillow 2.0s. Buy one, get one free. Percale sheets as low as $24.98. My Slippers and Sandals as low as $25 a pair. And for a limited time, when you order $75 or more, your entire order ships absolutely free.
All right, next up is River BTC. Are you ready to diversify your assets with Bitcoin? We're introducing River, the official Bitcoin partner of Badlands Media, where you can navigate the world of Bitcoin with confidence. With River, you can buy Bitcoin like a pro. With the assurance of being licensed and regulated right here in the United States, River ensures your Bitcoin journey is smooth and secure with on-demand live support at your fingertips. River empowers you to grow your portfolio without any unwanted surprises and eliminates third-party custodians, putting you in control of your assets. Open an account with no minimum purchase requirement. You can get your Bitcoin journey started with just one freaking dollar. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/river to create your River account today. That's badlandsmedia.tv/river. River Bitcoin, shaping the future of finance, one Bitcoin at a time. All right. And now, before it escapes me, I want to say the thing about this Jewish insight that I think I had over the weekend. I kept asking myself, and I've been confused for a long time, how is it that people don't understand that communism is worse than Nazism? How? I mean, it's just so freaking obvious. Part of it, though, is this Jewish obsession on the Holocaust, and it was the greatest blah, 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 and all like that. Okay, okay. I'm not going to start talking about slavery in the Middle Passage and all this other kind of stuff. Not going to do that. But it is, and it may not have been conscious. I'm just saying, the focus on Nazism obscures the damage of communism, but it also obscures how heavily involved Jews were in the development and in communism, the spread of communism. And it's like, because when you have such outsized influence in media, and Jews clearly do, I'm not about to sit here and talk about they run this or they do, but they have an outsized influence. How is it, if you recognize that communism was worse than Nazism, how is that not widely acknowledged? Something has to explain the fact that it's not widely acknowledged, and it's just not merely the talent of these freaking Russians or the talent of these freaking Chinese. This is where we have to have some summer of correction activity as well. The insight many Jews are coming to right now, sitting there watching this foolishness on these college campuses. Their involvement with communism needs to be acknowledged. It's not something crazy. It's just a fact of history. And we should move on as we do this summer of correction, which has to include a greater American comprehension of communism as worse than Nazism. You got motherfuckers on our campuses wearing this communist bullshit with no consequence? Oh, hell no. No. Gotta start whooping some ass. Gotta, you know. No, that's gotta go. All right, let me get back to your chat before we close out. Jim. Kanye and Candace are an interesting force. We'll see how it all plays out, but the weirdness just continues. Rhino Charlie Spies, who was stepped down. Good. I saw that. Very pleased by that. Good morning, North Georgia Dog. You know, I may be coming up to Atlanta Thursday. Friday, I think Tony Barnhart said he's having a book signing, and I love what Tony Barnhart did. As I'm a fan of the SEC, and I used to listen to Tony Barnhart in West Durham. They had an Atlanta radio program that I thought was just fantastic. And Tony Barnhart is a great sports writer. So I may go up there. I've never done that kind of thing, but you know, I'm getting old, and I may very well do that. Let's see. Since my awakening, everything I read now, I see so differently. This is the thing, and it's also, Joe K., why I wanted to read this piece, and every American needs to read this. You ain't gotta believe him, but it needs to be part of your material that's been considered. They have infiltrated every aspect of it. They have. They are out of necessity. You know what I mean? It is out of necessity. They cannot defeat us militarily, but they know damn well we can defeat ourselves. Israel was intimately involved in 9/11. I do not believe that. And I keep saying, you know, I'm going to run out of time, but we benefit from understanding nodes. When you say Israel, it doesn't mean Israel, I don't think. It's far too broad of a term. Just like the Saudi Arabians involved that don't represent MBS, MBZ, but there's a difference, and we have to be savvy about this, and we need to be cautious about casting Israel writ large. But anyway, we'll see how it all plays out. Okay, gang, I'm done with all of this. Thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to closing out this United States in Opposition read on Wednesday, and I hope you will join me then. Later, Gators.
Friends, first off, thank you so very much for joining us. We truly and deeply appreciate your continued support and love shown to us here at Badlands Media. Don't forget to hit the thumbs up on this video and help get this show on the Rumble leaderboard. Another way you can support Badlands for free? Become a Badlander. How do you do that? Head on over to badlandsmedia.tv, click connect from the top menu, and then click be a Badlander. Once you're registered, you can download clips from your favorite Badlands shows to share on your social media accounts. You can also print out flyers and stickers that you can hand out at an event and more. Let's keep growing our community because we are the news now and we take that very seriously. Thank you again from Badlands for your support and your love. It is appreciated more than you know.